Good morning and welcome to Acerros Arequipa third quarter earnings conference call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru are Mr. Tulio Silvado, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today, they will be discussing third quarter 2020 results, as per press release issued by the company on October 22. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session with the management. So, if you would like to ask a question, you can request it by messaging the host through Zoom chat. Please be advised that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Tulio Silvado, Chief Executive Officer of Acerros Arequipa, who will begin the presentation. Tulio, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning to all. Welcome to our third quarter 2020 earnings call. We appreciate you joining us today so we can discuss Acerros Arequipa results for this quarter and first 9 months of the year. As always, we consider it important to maintain open communication channels and transparency with the market and our stakeholders. Let's begin by taking a quick look at slide two so we can review today's agenda. I will begin this presentation by commenting on some relevant events during the quarter. Next, I will briefly review our consolidated results. Afterwards, I will pass the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will discuss operational and financial performance and then comment on our guidance for the end of this year prior to the questions and answers session. Let's then move to slide three to comment on some relevant events during the quarter. During this quarter, the company managed to export 40,000 tons of steel billets to the Chinese market, which constitutes a milestone for the Peruvian industry. Other milestone was granting of the first carbon footprint Peru Star to the company by the Peruvian Ministry of Environment, recognizing the company's efforts in controlling its greenhouse effect emissions. Finally, our subsidiary TSC Innovation, which provides beam construction services to a wide range of projects, won the International Tecla PIN Awards 2020 for the Puente Nanay project, which is the largest bridge ever built in Peru. This recognition shows the company's expertise and commitment to offer value-added services. Now, please, let's move to slide four for a glimpse into our results. Please note that all figures are unaudited and on a consolidated basis. Additionally, any growth rate presented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During this quarter, the company experienced a positive market response, bouncing back after the national lockdown restrictions, including a full production shutdown, were lifted. Hence, revenues growth was above our internal estimates, pushed by a higher local market demand, as well as an extraordinary export of steel billets to China. Profitability results were also positive, higher revenues was accompanied by lower prices of raw materials. Consequently, EBITDA and net profit values for the period jumped to a historic record. On a first 9 months basis, figures are quite good considering the impact of COVID-19 restrictions during the first half of the year. During these first 9 months, CapEx was PEN 260 million, mainly driven by PEN 236 million that were allocated towards the new melt shop facility, as most investments were postponed, safeguarding cash during the lockdown period. Working capital requirements lower mainly due to lower inventories, driven by a higher demand of finished products, a fewer purchases as a measure to protect our working capital. Consolidated net debt lowered 2.1 times as cash balance was higher. Now, I would like to turn the floor to Ricardo Guzman, our CFO and IRO, who will further discuss financial performance for the quarter. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tulio. Good morning to everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. Please, let's move to slide number 6 for a review of our consolidated revenue performance. As Tulio mentioned earlier, revenue bounced back after a nationwide restriction were lifted. Hence, during the quarter, the consolidated revenue jumped by 89 million, or 11% year over year. During the quarter, sales recovery continued to beat our updated monthly internal projections. Revenue's performance was driven mainly by domestic revenue, which reached 775 million soles, an increase of 74 million, or 11% year over year. Moreover, exports revenue also increased, mainly driven by an exceptional 40,000 tons export of steel billets to the Chinese market, and reached 132 million, a 14 million or 12% increase year over year. During the quarter, export revenue represented 15% of total consolidated revenue compared to 14% in the third quarter of 2019. Considering finished products, the Bolivian market remained as the main destination for the company's export. On a per product basis, core categories such as rebars, wire rods, and merchant bars rose by 8 million and 1 million soles respectively. Nonetheless, revenue of other products, which among other includes the imported products and the exceptional export of steel billets to the Chinese market, was a key driver as it jumped 79 million soles. Now, please, let's go to slide number 7 to discuss profitability measures. Gross profit for the period reached 192 million soles, 63 million above the figures of the third quarter 2019. Higher sales and lower prices of raw materials during the period contributed to a gross margin of 21%, jumping from 16% year over year. EBITDA for the quarter also jumped to 149 million soles, a 45 million soles increase compared to that of third quarter 2019, and EBITDA margin reached 70% compared to 13% year over year. Nonetheless, figures for the first 9 months continue to reflect the impact of COVID-19. Hence, gross profit and EBITDA reached 303 million and 226 million respectively. Now, let's take a closer look to the drivers of EBITDA increase on slide number 8. EBITDA for the quarter was 45 million higher compared to that of the third quarter 2019, following a 62 million increase in gross profit before depreciation and amortization. EBITDA increased despite higher SG&A expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, by 13 million and other net operating expenses by 4 million. SG&A, excluding depreciation and amortization, rose as a percentage of revenue to 6% compared to 5.2% as of third quarter 2019, mainly driven by higher personal expenses, allowances for doubtful account receivables, and COVID-related expenses. EBITDA margin was 70%, 3.7 percentage points above the margin obtained in third quarter 2019, following a higher gross margin. Moving to our bottom line, let's go to slide number 9 to take a look into the quarter's net profit. During the first quarter, during the third quarter of 2020, net profit was 83 million soles, 34 million higher year over year as a result of a higher operating profits by 45 million, lower net financial expenses of by 0.6 million, and a lower expense by 2 million in net exchange rate differences, which were partially offset by a higher income tax of 12 million and lower income from affiliated companies by 0.8 million. On a 9-month basis, net profit was 84 million or 47 million lower year over year. Let's move now to slide number 10 to discuss our debt metrics. As of September 2020, the total financial debt was 1,249 million soles, 30 million soles higher than that as of December 2019. The total financial debt increase was driven by the scheduled financing of the new melt shop project, which is composed by two leasing financial lease agreements with a 562 million balance. Short-term debt was significantly lower, in line with lower working capital requirements, and reached 283 million soles. Net financial debt lowered by 74 million soles compared to December 2019 and reached 699 million soles. Therefore, the net financial debt to EBITDA ratio was 2.09 times, which was slightly lower than the 2.11 times registered as of December 2019, explained by a higher cash balance. As of December 2020, 49% of the total debt was denominated in soles, other 49% was denominated in US dollars, while the remainder was denominated in bolivianos. The lease financing of the new melt shop signed with Banco de Crédito is structured in two contracts with a combined 10-year tenor with an initial 3-year free of principal payments for a total amount of $208 million. Now let's move to slide number 11 to discuss working capital and CapEx. As of September 2020, operating working capital, which excludes cash available for sale assets and financial liabilities, lowered to 636 million soles, mainly driven by a 107 million reduction of inventories. Collections reached 68 days of sales outstanding versus 61 as of December 2019, as sales experienced an exceptional bounce back. Days of payables rose to 89 days, higher than 65 as of December of 2019. Note that these figures are calculated on the basis of last 12 month revenue and cost of goods sold, which, due to COVID-19 restrictions impact, are unusually low. Let's now look at the CAPEX. For the 9 months of the year 2020, CAPEX was 260 million soles, of which 148 million were disbursed for the construction of the new melt shop. Due to the nature of its financing, CAPEX and its corresponding leasing disbursements are not represented on our cash flow statements. During the quarter, CAPEX was 62 million, mostly consisting of 21 million of the new melt shop construction and scheduled improvements on our rolling mill. Now let's turn to slide number 12 to discuss cash flow. As of September 2020, cash flow from operations was positive 379 million, mainly explained by revenue and EBITDA recovery and lower working capital requirements. Cash flow from investments was a negative 71 million soles as investments in fixed assets and intangibles reached 112 million. This was partially offset by the asset sales of 34 million soles and interest received of 6 million soles. Cash flow from financing reached a negative 206 million, mainly due to a 157 million net debt amortization an $18 million dividend payment on account of 2019 results and a $27 million of interest payments. It is important to point out that the capital leasing agreement of our new mail shop is not included in our cash flow from financing. Regarding dividends, on October 22, jointly with the publication of the third quarter's 2020 financial statements, our board of directors approved a dividend payment of $32.8 million, comprised of a pending balance of $17.8 million on account of 2019 results and $14.9 million as an advance payment in account of 2020 results. Now let's turn to slide number 13 to comment on our guidance for the remainder of 2020. Given the new context and less uncertainty during this quarter, we are presenting a new guidance for the full year 2020. Revenue growth for the full year target is expected to be around -16% or -17%, with an EBITDA between 350 and 370 million soles. The CAPEX targeted for the year is between 400 to 417 million soles, subject to the execution of the new mail shop project. Dividends paid during 2020 will be between 50.8 and 72 million, considering the recent approval by the board of directors, and to reach the 72 million will depend on the market performance in the following months. The earning per share ratio is expected to be higher than 0.15 soles. Thank you for your attention. This concludes our presentation. We are looking forward to answering all your questions. So at this point, we can move to the Q&A session of this presentation. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through the Zoom chat and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If you have any question, please send a. Oh, okay. We have a question from Guillermo Palomino. Guillermo Palomino, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the very clear presentations. I would like to ask if there are any further. I believe there have been in the past, if there are any new stock repurchase plans.
Ricardo?
Sorry, I have the microphone off. So far we are not considering any stock repurchases. However, this is something that we continuously explore.
Thank you, Guillermo. Now we have a question from Philip Curie. Okay, Philip Curie, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this presentation. I have two questions for you. Can you please confirm the time frame for the startup of the new melt shop, and whether we're still in line with previous guidance? And second, we noticed on your new corporate presentation that there's a mention in your medium-term plans for getting involved in an iron ore mine and also undertaking a mini blast furnace. I just wanted to know what the steps are for entering these new verticals and what you know what you would look for before embarking on this.
Mm-hmm. Tulio, you want me to answer this question?
Yes, regarding the first question, we expected to have to produce the first billet around February and March next year. We will start the ramp up between March, no? March or April next year. Regarding the mini mill investment, we still in process of researching for more information and the best ways to do it. But if we do that, it will be in the coming 3 or 4 years more.
Thank you, and I have a couple of follow-up questions on this. I mean, from our previous conversations and from your previous presentations, obviously one of the advantages of the new melt shop is that it will enable you to enter the grinding ball market, which will be enabled by the higher quality of steel products that you'll be able to produce. Do you have a time frame for when you can start entering this market, and how long you think it'll take you to penetrate this market? That's question number one. The second question has to do with the billet exports to China. Is this very much a one-off and it's relating to a cleanup of your inventory, or is this something that we can see in the future?
I will start with the second question. Yes, we found a window of prices and costs. That's the reason we have we export the billets. This is an opportunity to reduce our working capital for so on. No? In the future, we can do that. But mainly probably in the region only. Why not to China again, but it's more possible to do this kind of business in the region. Regarding your first question, we expected to start producing the special high carbon grade in the second semester of the year, in the third quarter of the year. But it will be a ramp up, huh? And we expected to get the final marker. We expected to achieve probably 6 months later than that.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
We have a third question from Jose Antonio Andrade. Jose Antonio Andrade, please go ahead.
Okay, I'm in it right now. Do you listen to me? Yeah?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for Tulio and Ricardo for taking the questions. First of all, I would like to congratulate the administration for the excellent third quarter results. They have been really impressive. My first question is related to the procedure against Contugas. Could you please give us an update on it and an estimate of time do you expect to end it? And my second question is, once the new plant is working, would the company be able to increase its exports, and to what markets principally do you expect to do so? Those are my two questions, thanks.
Okay, thank you. I will start with the second question again. And we expected to export mainly to Colombia, to Canada, and Central America. We have an opportunity, of course, we will have cost, we will have capacity, and we want to export to these countries. Regarding the first question, would you please repeat again, please?
It's related to the procedure against Contugas.
Ah, okay.
If you could give us an update, and if you can estimate the time to be end, I mean,
Who knows? I have no an answer, exact answer for your question, but we are in the administration procedure, we mm-hmm. the first step and the second step and the last one will be in the coming months. We don't know when will be, but in the coming months, we will have the second resolution, the second administrative resolution. And as you know, we are fighting $80 million.
Yeah, I know.
It's very important for us and for Contugas also, either. No? But we expect a full decision in the coming 4 or 5 months from now.
Yes, we have a little delay on that. We were expecting some answers in the past few weeks. However, there was a referee that is within OSINARMIN, which is evaluating that case. Its period ended, and they renamed a new one. So it will take time for them to update him in the process. But we don't have a clear picture when how long it will take.
The referee has nominated during the last weekend. Last weekend, the government nominated the last referee we need to for this process.
The final solution. Are there any kind of discussions with the other part? No.
Conversation, you mean?
Yeah.
No, that I know.
Not at all. No, we are waiting for the resolution. Hmm?
Okay. No, because sometimes it is not bad to get a transaction, but I mean, maybe it's the position is the total or nothing. You know,
For us, it's a total or nothing because we have the right. Hmm?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
We have the fourth question from Ethel McGowan. Ethel, please go ahead.
Hi, Tulio, Ricardo, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Good morning, and congrats for the quarter. That's a pretty impressive bounce back from the second quarter. I have a couple questions. The first one is regarding volumes. In the last earnings call, you mentioned that local volumes were still 20% lower in July compared to July of last year. And I'd like to know first, what was the volume growth for the overall quarter compared to third quarter 2019? And second, what kind of demand behavior is your guidance contemplating? Regarding the fourth quarter, is it a similar strength of the market compared to this third quarter, or you expect some pent up demand to come back down to some lower level of demand?
With respect to volume, we grow around 14% quarter versus last year quarters. If you take off, which is the billet export, we grow around. Around 0.3%. And your second question was?
What kind of expectations do you have for the fourth quarter? In other words, what does your guidance contemplate the similar strong fourth quarter compared to the third quarter, or is it something more compared, something like the average for the first 9 months of the year?
Tulio, you can complement my answer, but
yes,
what I feel is that it will depend how the market continues pulling our products. and how the prices behave. For right now, prices have been very very strong, and the volume has been very strong. It has been a combination of both. For the fourth quarters, always we have a cyclical behavior. December usually is a lower month, but we expect in volume a one-digit growth compared to last year fourth quarter.
In general terms, we expected about the same volume, probably a little less volume, but a little less volume than the third quarter.
Great. And I'd like to ask a follow-up question there regarding the margins. You mentioned that raw material costs were lower for the third quarter and that gave you a better gross margin. Is this due to lower externally sourced scrap or lower prices for externally sourced scrap or local scrap? And what is your expectation going forward? Is that, are those lower prices sustainable?
Yes, I expected that the prices are sustainable regarding the scrap prices. Our both locally and external prices, we get good prices. What we expected for the next quarter will be around the same, but with one difference. We need to import some billets. Billets are more expensive than the billets we made it. For that reason, our margin could be a little bit less than in the next quarter.
Perfect. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
There appears to be no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back to over to Mr. Silviado for closing remarks.
Thank you again for participating today. We are glad to be on the path to recovery and positive results in this still challenging year. We expect to continue pushing further into growth and value generation while maintaining focus on health and safety. You are welcome to join us in our fourth quarter call in January to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa results. Good afternoon.